welcome to another episode of Drew Rants and Raves. This is episode 2. I am your host, Drew Allen, and this show is me talking about one thing that annoys me and maybe how it could be better, and also talking about something that is just freaking awesome. So let's get the bad news out of the way. The topic today is passwords. And I feel like this one was kind of universal. I wanted to kick this one off. Passwords are just terrible. I mean, I think conceptually, they're great, right? You want to secure something, and there's a password. I'm immediately reminded of, you know, the speakeasies from the Prohibition times, where you had to have the password, you know, or the security guy closes that little eye slot, and I can't get into the club. So they're good, right? But in the internet age, of course, things are way more complicated, which is true for everything. But yeah, passwords, just so annoying. Okay, so for one, I don't understand why we can't settle on a proper length for a password. Okay, so there's sort of two ages of passwords. Or two eras, if you will, because first it was just like, you have to have a password, and it has to be at least 6 characters long, give or take. Okay, cool. And then, at some point along the way, people realized that, oh, I can use a super hacky program, and I can figure out every possible combination. So then it became, you have to have a number in it. Okay, fine. You have to have a number in it. And then it became, well, you have to have a number and a capital letter. Okay, fine. And then you start adding special characters. And I just can't. And then there was like the second era of passwords, which I believe most people refer to as passphrases, which I happen to be hashtag team passphrase because it's easier to remember. Passphrases, of course, it's like, no, it can just be letters if you want. It just needs to be like 24 characters long. And it can just be an entire sentence that you made up that includes people you know and favorite movie characters or whatever you choose. And that's it. And so it's just this complicated long sentence you have to type. And then that's it. But the key is you don't have to remember what special characters you used or where was the number involved? All these kind of things you don't have to worry about. You don't have to think about. Which letter did I capitalize this time? Because I say this time because when you have a bevy of different requirements for passwords on many different sites or apps or networks, then you inevitably run across the password reset, which, of course, is its own subset of annoyance underneath passwords in general. I know this is probably getting me in trouble, but I only have a few passwords. It's true. And yeah, I'm not an idiot. I'm not going to tell you how I come up with a password, but I have a certain couple of different formulas that I use to come up with a password. And a lot of times I'll have a certain sequence in there where there's a number replacement or a number added. So I have that, and I know that in my brain. There's like, a couple of different iterations of the password, and this is what I know it to be. The problem is I rarely have one that fits all the requirements for every single site that asks to do something. So I come to a new site. Oh, what's the password? Log in. Okay, here's the password I normally use. Nope, wrong password. Okay. Oh, I probably use the other version. Okay. Other version, no. Also, wrong password. Dang it. Okay. Maybe it's the older one. Okay, so let's go back a generation, and I'll use iteration A of that. Nope, wrong password. Iteration B, nope, wrong password. And I'm like, I know that I could go through every password, and it's like, what the heck? And so then that's it. So then I have to say, I guess forgot my password. And then I click through, I go to my email. Yes, I want to reset my password. And I'll pause right here and say, I don't want to reset my password. That's not what I want to do. What I want to do is know the password I picked and the password I chose for this website when I logged on. So right off the bat, you're steering me away from what I want to do as a user. What I want to do is know the password. And just because it wasn't the first few that I remembered, because again, I used to only have a couple and it was wonderful, but then because all these different requirements, I've had to develop a whole bunch of different ones. So now it takes me longer to go through my Rolodex of passwords. And so I resent the assumption that because I don't remember it in the first four or five tries, that the only option is just to reset it. Why? Why? Because you know what happens? Now you're making me create a whole nother one. Now you're adding to the problem because now I have even more passwords. So I just don't like it. I just I would honestly pay money, which is a phrase you will undoubtedly hear me say again. And some of you will find that hilarious. I don't care. But I would pay money if instead there was a verify my identity button. And yes, do something else. Make me list my, you know, all the addresses I've ever lived in. Make me give you the last four of my social. Whatever it is, there should be a service where then you literally, in a secure channel, in an encrypted file, whatever, you go, oh, your password was blah, 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 blah. And I go, oh, I didn't know that. Okay, cool. And you know what the situation is almost every time? It's usually this site had some extra weird thing, or some extra weird requirement. Like, oh, well, this one you have to have the capital letter, the number, and a special character, and it has to be 10 characters long. It's like, okay. So then randomly, I came up with on the spot this extra weird password that I tried to remember that met all these requirements. So of course I don't remember that. You know, how would you expect me to remember that? And really, the helpful thing would be here, again, trying to think about how to fix it. The helpful thing would be if I miss the password, once I get the password wrong once, the next pop-up should be, that was the incorrect password. Remember, the required password should contain blah, 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 and list out all your requirements, because that would jog my memory. That would alert me. It would give me a little notification that says, hey, this is that extra annoying site that made you come up with a stupid password that's really complicated this one time. At least then it would help me remember it, right? I don't know. That would jog my memory to be like, oh, let me try the super duper weird ones first that I probably only use once or twice forever anything. Anyways, and so this brings me to how to fix it. Obviously, that's one way to fix it, would just be to remind me of your complicated requirements. Thing number two that would fix it is don't even have those freaking requirements. Just let me create a longer password. Make me do the passphrase, because I don't have the numbers in front of me. The numbers suggest that, yes, if you add the digits to the alphabet, 26 characters in the alphabet, cool. If I also add the 10 digits, then that makes the password X number times harder to guess, because it creates X many thousands of combinations of what it possibly could be, or millions of combinations of what it could be. And that's cool, right? But if your password's 8 characters long and then you made one of them a number, and yeah, that made it a little bit more complex. And yes, if you made one of them capital, that made it a little bit more complex. And if you made one of them a special character, that would make it a little bit more complex. But if you made it, you know, 20 characters long, it's way more difficult for any sort of computer program to guess, because there's so many more combinations. So it's more secure because it's longer, and it's so much easier to remember. Like some, you know, maybe it is, I don't want to give too many ideas here. Maybe it's like your favorite pet's name and your favorite inside joke from a movie. Like that would be several characters long. It'd probably be more than 20 characters. Nobody would guess that. Why would they, right? Because it could be infinite numbers of things. Anyways, there's just so many options there, and they're easier to remember because it's something that you, it's like a sentence that you had to kind of remember. And there's more, I don't know, mnemonic memory to it, I guess, because it's just something you had to come up with that was longer than just a series of letters and numbers. I don't know. Just thinking out loud here. So yeah, passwords. They're super annoying. That's it. I don't know. I mean, they need work. They definitely need work. Okay, on to the good news, if you will. Not John Krasinski's good news, which that's save him for another day, but today I'm also raving, and here's what I'm raving about. Drum roll, please. That would be me, but I'm not doing it because I'm not in a drum kit. Is Marco Polo. I said it. I see the eye rolls. I hear the groans through the computer. I know what you're thinking. Marco Polo. It's an incredibly fun game at the pool. And if you're thinking that, then you're wrong on multiple levels. Most notably because that's not the Marco Polo I'm talking about. I'm talking about Marco Polo. It is an app for iOS. It is an app that makes it stupidly easy to video chat with people. I know what you're thinking. FaceTime. Is that right? Isn't that just FaceTime? It's super easy to video chat with people. Is it though? Because you find yourself way more inconvenienced by FaceTime because someone has to, usually, if you're courteous, someone has to text first and say, "Hey, can you FaceTime right now?" And then the other person can either go, "Yeah, probably," or they go, "No, not right now. I'll FaceTime you later." Right, you know, right away, that eliminates FaceTime from being as simple or simpler than Marco Polo is. Marco Polo is asynchronous FaceTime. You just tap the name that you, the person you want to talk to, start, and you're talking. And you're talking into the camera, and they're seeing you, and they're hearing you. And it just sends the video away, and then they watch it when they want, and you can even watch it at a higher speed, which makes it even that much more efficient and better. People who know me know that I like to talk. I like to talk so much I started the podcast with just me on it. And hopefully you're listening to this at least 1.5x. If you're listening to this at 1x speed, please let me know on Instagram at Drew Rants and Raves, because I would love to know that. That would give me, that would be some words of affirmation. But I'm assuming most of you are listening to this at least 1.5 speed, if not 2x speed, if you're really in a hurry. But Marco Polo has that same functionality. So that friend you have who's blessed with verbosity is trying to tell you a story, and you kind of just want to hear the end of the story. But you don't want to be rude enough to just not watch it. Although some people might be rude enough to just not do that. And I'm not Matt Greening any names, but, the point is Marco Polo is awesome. And this is not a sponsor, by the way. I don't have any of those yet. If you're interested in being a sponsor for Drew Rants and Raves, please let me know, reach out to me on Twitter or Instagram, and we can make that happen. However, it is just so much better than FaceTime, and a lot of people are also have also talked to me before about how, like, you can just send video messages via iMessages, can't you? You can, but again, when you experience it, it's not nearly as easy to do. It's not, like, iMessages is still, for all of its bells and whistles, it is still based primarily around writing short text messages to each other. That's what it does best. And it's great at that. It's probably a whole nother episode about iMessages alone. But Marco Polo is not that. It's something else. And it's so much better at doing video. And it's almost like when the iPhone came out, there were a few other touchscreen phones at the time. But when the iPhone came out, it was like, whoa, this just raised the bar. And you all of a sudden realized, oh, this is what this is supposed to be like. That's what it's like when you get and you start using Marco Polo for video messaging, you're like, oh, this is what it's supposed to be like. This is so much better than, I haven't even talked about Snapchat or even Instagram, where you're constantly having to, like, you know, it's breaking up all your messages into short little chunks. So why? That's so weird. That's my rave. Check out Marco Polo. I'm sure they saw a humongous spike in usage, as many communication type services did around the time of the quarantine. They actually just released a Plus program, which gives you a few more options for communication and some bells and whistles. That's not necessary at all, by the way. The free version of Marco Polo is fantastic. They didn't take anything away from the free users of Marco Polo. They simply added some extra capabilities for those who want it and are wanting to support Marco Polo and what they're doing. There are no ads in the app or anything like that. It's just a great app experience. That's all. It's wonderful. I can't say enough good things about it. It is absolutely amazing. You should go download it. I don't even know if it's on Android. I do know it's on iOS. So go check it out. It's fantastic. And that will do it for another episode, our second ever episode of Drew Rants and Raves. And I just want to thank you again for listening. If you enjoy the show, subscribe, leave a review. That would be amazing. Again, words of affirmation. It's definitely my love language, even the written word in an iTunes review. Also, you can follow us on social media at Drew Rants and Raves on Instagram. And that would be it. So until next time, take it easy.